as we welcome to the show a veteran broadcaster, voice of the Baltimore Orioles, the Old Town native, and soon to be a new inductee into the University of Maine's Athletic Hall of Fame, Gary Thorne, joining us. Gary, good afternoon, and congratulations.
Thank you very much. That's very nice.
Hall of Famer.
Told me they made the announcement today because I didn't know that they made the announcement.
And, you know, back in the day at Old Town, they thought it would be for the basketball skills, the left-handed pitching skills, but those closest knew it would be the voice that would get you there.
Yeah, anybody who was close and saw the basketball and baseball skills knew it would be broadcasting.
Well, that's pretty cool, though. I mean, that's more than cool. That's awesome stuff. And you've been around Hall of Fames because you've handled Cooperstown and the Hall of Fame induction there for a long time. And it's an honor. It's a wonderful moment, but also puts you in a really great fraternity of people.
Yeah. Yeah, it's as I told the people when they gave me a call, you know, it's very humbling as far as I'm concerned. And if you can be judged by the people you keep company with, I'll put the names up of the members of the Maine Athletic Hall of Fame anytime, anywhere, as far as company I keep. That's one of the reasons, and a primary reason why it's just so great for me and why it is so humbling is because I take a look at the names of the people who are already in that Hall of Fame, and it's pretty daunting.
And also, it's, I think, very appropriate that the 1993 University of Maine hockey team, the national champions, will go in at the same time because you were there on the ground floor of Maine hockey in the Jack Semler days starting back in 1977.
Yeah, I didn't know that. Somebody told me that when we were talking about it, and I asked about others who were going to be inducted. And I think this is the first team that's ever been recognized in this way by the Hall of Fame. And that's just great. I mean, I've been involved with the program, as you said, since day one, been a supporter and member of the Friends of Maine Hockey over all these years. And I'm just delighted that they get that recognition. I've always believed that if Maine was going to be really competitive on a national level in sports, that hockey would be the sport where it would have the best chance of doing so. And that's what happened during those years, and hopefully will again.
And, of course, everybody knows the contribution that Sean Walsh made, but can you talk a little bit about Jack Semler and how important those foundational years were?
Well, it was I love Jack dearly as a human being. He had one of the great senses of what I think sports is all about. Jack was at the center of organizing the Friends of Maine Hockey, which always spoke to me about what Jack was about. I remember Hal Westerman, Jack Semler, Stu Haskell. The three of us sat down one day at the Commons at Maine to discuss the Friends of Maine Hockey, which was Jack's idea because Jack believed that college sports should provide an opportunity for the athletes on the competing teams to have a chance to get together socially with their families and one another during a series or something, and he thought the Friends group was a way to do that. I couldn't have agreed more. Harold believed that, and so we went forward with that, Stu Haskell helping to put all that together. And so that's what Jack was about. But it wasn't, I mean, Jack had a real tough job. When the Maine hockey program started, the decision to start that 77-78 year was made very late. So he ended up having to go out and find a team after all the recruiting was already done. And that's what made it so beautiful, that they picked up, you know, the Gary Kahns, the Jim and John Tortorellas, the Nords, the guys who played in that first group. Most of them had been bypassed by the Boston schools and everybody else. So I've always said the first group came in with a chip on their shoulder, something to prove, into a brand new program. And we're playing against teams, the New England guys in particular out of Massachusetts, were playing against teams made up of players they knew and had grown up with and played with as youngsters and had been denied the opportunity to go to those colleges. And I always think that was an underpinning, one of the reasons why fans fell in love with that first group. I mean, they genuinely played their hearts out because they had something to prove. And Jack was able to take that sort of player and develop them as a team. Jack was just a wonderful human being. And I thought there couldn't have been a better guy to start the main program, I think, than Jack Semler.
Gary, do you miss covering the Frozen Four? You did it for so many years.
Yeah. The Frozen Four was a treat to me. I mean, for one thing, it got me back into the college milieu and coaches and players who I'd known, and I loved it. I mean, it was, you know, obviously for the college players, it's the epitome of what they can do team-wise in college hockey, and it was great fun. We had a wonderful time. There was always great turnouts. The schools involved would always show up, and there were people that came to the Frozen Four and still do, even if they do not have a team they root for involved, because it's just such a fun and exciting event. I miss doing that, but, you know, it was a great run and moved on, had other things to do, but I'm really glad I had an opportunity to do that.
We're talking with Gary Thorne here on Downtown. Well, the baseball season gets underway, actually, with games on Sunday, and then everybody else getting started early next week. Are people selling your Orioles short a little bit based on what they were able to accomplish last year?
Yeah, let me ask you that question. I don't quite understand all of these polls that have the Orioles finishing last in the East. I mean, honestly, I don't get it. I know I'm a little biased, but I tend to be pretty objective about these things, and I just can't imagine the Orioles finishing last. I mean, maybe I'll be wrong, but I think at worst they'll be third, and at best that they're going to make a run at probably Boston, the team that should be the team to beat in the East, and will make a real run at a wild card spot. I don't know why everybody's so down. I know the starting rotation's a problem for the Orioles. They know that. They're not done working on it. Depending on who gets released today and who's available, they may still sign a starting pitcher. And if they don't, they're going to do the Norfolk AAA shuffle between Norfolk and Baltimore, as they've done in the past. But a team that can produce as many runs as the Orioles are going to produce can win some ball games.
Well, that's the way I feel, too. They've got great power, and there were questions about the rotation last year, and they did just fine, and you've got the best closer in the game.
Yeah, and probably and one of the best bullpens overall. I mean, their strength is their bullpen, and, you know, with probably the best closer in the game finishing it off, I mean, they're going to be there. I don't know. I don't see all the negatives that many of the pundits do, I guess, about this ball club. But we'll see. It is all about pitching, and the starting rotation is going to be a problem, especially if Chris Tillman is injured for any length of time beyond the first month of the season. But I think they're better than people give them credit for it.
Did Buck take too much grief for that decision not to bring in Zach Britton last year?
Well, he took a lot of grief. But honestly, and I, you know, I'm close to Buck, and he is a tremendous manager. He's the reason this pitching thing works out when you don't really have five or even four legitimate starters. His managing in a game is as good as anybody's, but he made a mistake. He had made a decision in his own mind that he was not going to bring in his closer unless there was a lead. And Buck makes those kind of decisions before a game, during a game, stands with him. It was one that probably should have been changed. And, you know, he said so during the winter. You go back and you do it again, he probably doesn't make the same decision. So, hey, you made a mistake. You go on.
I look at the American League East and much of the American League, and I don't really see any teams that don't have some flaw. That would lead me to believe the East is wide open this year.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, we were talking about that. We had a game today against Detroit finishing up spring training on TV. Certainly Toronto, with that starting staff, has got a jump on the others along with the Red Sox. I mean, if they can maintain, if both those teams stay healthy with their starting rotations, they're going to be real tough. I mean, those are really good starting rotations. And the Orioles are going to have to beat the heck out of them, literally, offensively, in order to win games against them. They're going to have to get the starters out, get to the middle bullpen people, which is usually the underbelly for teams, and try and outscore teams rather than outpitch them. That's a very tough order to do, but I think that's going to have to be the case. But, yeah, it's a real tough division. There aren't holes in it. And even the teams you might think like Tampa Bay and I guess for other people, the Orioles, I mean, if those are the two worst teams in the division, what a division. Because those are going to be tough teams to beat.
Gary, speaking of the Hall of Famer, are we seeing, we seem to see it in the Hall of Fame voting this year, are people moving on a bit or at least moderating their attitude on players who excelled in what we, I guess we'll call the PED era?
Yeah, I think so, and I'm sad about that. I am one of those, I am adamantly opposed to guys who were caught up in that era with the steroids and all that home run malarkey, which has proven to be at. Those numbers are false. They're fraudulent. They do damage to the game because they put up numbers that are not true, are not even close to being equal now, and they deprive the guys who had the records before, like Hank Aaron, of the recognition that they deserve. But I think they are softening up, and kind of ironically, one of the reasons, if you talk to the voters for the Hall, is Bud Seeley is going to be inducted this year. He was obviously the commissioner during the time of all of this, and a lot of the writers have said, look, if he was in charge and all this went on and he's going to go into the Hall, then why shouldn't the guys who played go into the Hall as well? I understand that position and thinking. I disagree with it, but that, I think, has been one of the reasons why you've seen a softening on those who may now be willing to cast a vote for the guys who were the steroid users.
Gary Thorne with us here on Downtown, talking about you last week on the air with veteran broadcaster Mike Violet, and we were talking about the Augusta Civic Center, and I did share the story of doing some tournament games with you, and you had to get to a hockey game. I think it was in New Hampshire. And you said, Rich, guy was a young guy. I mean, you're not that much older than me.
No,
but
you were young.
I was pretty young. And you said, listen, when the game ends, I'll throw it to you on the floor. You do post-game interviews, and I'll leave. And you can throw it to a commercial and then head upstairs to the booth. And that seemed like a good idea at the time. But clearly, I was taken advantage of by the veteran broadcaster.
You were. Absolutely. There's no question about that. You were taken full advantage of by a veteran broadcaster. I support that position 100%.
I got back up to that booth just as the commercials ended, and I could barely say my own name. I was so winded at that point.
Yes. Well, see, a lesson learned early.
Yeah, and I did. And of course, now I've used that with other young broadcasters because, you know, that's how you pay it forward in reality.
That was funny, though. I've always enjoyed that. I think about that often, and always smile. The only thing I wish is we had the telephones and the cameras back then, so we could have had an iPhone shot of you going up the stairs and getting back into the booth. But we could have exploited it all over the world.
That's one of the many reasons I'm glad we didn't have iPhones back then.
Exactly.
And I'm not saying this is the end of it either, because you're going in the Hall of Fame on September 8th, and guess who's the MC for that event?
Oh, no. Are you MCing that?
That's the rumor going around town. Yes, indeed.
I may have to reconsider whether or not I can accept his honor or not.
I'll behave myself. I'll be on my best behavior, I promise.
Well, I'll wait outside in the lobby. When you introduce me, I'll run in completely out of breath.
I think that would be fantastic. I look forward to it. Well, Gary, a sincere congratulations. A very well-deserved honor. Great to talk with you, as always. Have a terrific season, and we look forward to talking with you again soon.
Will do. Thanks, Rich. Be well.
That's Gary Thorne, a voice of the Baltimore Orioles and new inductee this September into the University of